Welcome to Kiki and Kibitz with Jordan and Brianna, the Bravo podcast dedicated to equal opportunity evisceration and vocabulary lessons. My name is Brianna, and I am here with my amazing, wonderful, endearing co-host, Jordan Roth Myers. Hello, Jordan.
Hey, Zeus, Brianna.
And we are also joined today by our featured guest star, Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
So how are you guys doing? Do you have any holiday plans?
I have, well, it's kind of the highlight of my life. I shouldn't sound so like, my sister and her husband are coming down with my niece and nephew, who, if you guys haven't figured out, are the only people I love in the world without judgment or strings attached.
Oh,
it's going to be joyous. I'm excited.
Oh, so sweet.
How about you?
I am, well, we had our one side of the family today, and I came home and immediately needed a cocktail, so I am putting the hick in shiksa and drinking apple pie moonshine.
Oh, my God.
The hick in shiksa. So appropriate, so appropriate.
How about you, Brianna?
Oh, so yeah, everyone's coming to my house. I have, we've talked about it that I am by heritage Jewish, but I was raised by two physicists who are total atheists, and we celebrated Christmas because obviously that just makes sense. So, but this year, yeah, I know, right? So, but now that I have met Jordan and he knows all this Jewy stuff, and he talks to me about it a lot. I have realized in shame that I know absolutely nothing about my heritage at all. Mm-hmm. And neither does my son. So I decided that maybe we should check out what Hanukkah is about because it's coming up at the same time as Christmas-ish. Mm-hmm. It starts Monday, right?
Starts Monday.
Yeah. Anyway, Jen knows. Jen's an expert. So anyway, I don't know what to do because I've never celebrated Hanukkah in my entire life. So I ordered a kit from Amazon. It's literally like an intro to Hanukkah kit.
What does this kit teach you exactly?
Well, it has a lot of things in it, and maybe I don't understand what they're all exactly for, even though I've seen them. So first of all, there's a menorah, so hashtag Avi, okay. And then candles, again, hashtag Avi, and then it has dreidels, which I actually haven't read far enough to figure out how that relates to Hanukkah. I just know it does, and then there's the chocolate coins. Isn't that called Hanukkah gelt?
Gelt, G-E-L-T.
I knew, see, look at that. So I have some of the things stored in the back of my mind, but I don't know why we have this. So that's what's in there. But the crowning glory, and this is why I bought it, is there is basically a Hanukkah for Dummies guide. It's like an intro book. And so I really haven't even looked at it yet, but basically they start with the same story of every Jewish holiday, and the theme goes like this: they tried to kill us, we escaped, let's eat. That's it.
Yeah.
that's how we Jews do. Am I right? Anyway, so that's where it starts. Some 2100 years ago, the land of Israel came under the rule of the Syrian Greek emperor, and it goes like that, right? And then we tried to escape, and the oil for the lamps, which should only have lasted like a day, lasted 8 days, something like that, right, Jordan? Am I close?
There was only enough oil for one night, and by a miracle, it lasted for eight.
And there you go. So there's eight candles on the menorah. No, and one in the middle for lighting.
The one in the middle, the shamash, you use that candle as a servant to light your other candles for each night.
Does it signify anything else besides that?
I don't know.
Just know.
Maybe my nephew could tell you. He knows more than I do.
Brandon knows.
Yeah.
Five-year-old knows. Let's call him. Can Brandon please come on the podcast?
He'd be like, yes. So
on the back, there are the lyrics to this song that I have heard before, but really don't know. So it's, I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay. You better help me.
And when it's dry and ready,
you guys know it.
A dreidel, I will play. Of course, I know it.
You know all this, and I don't. Can you see what a bad Jew I am? Thanks, Mom.
By the way, I'm not like at all like religious, and
no,
I just absorb this kind of cultural history, the quirks and.
But didn't you celebrate these things at home? Because you had a bar mitzvah, so don't tell me you guys didn't rock Hanukkah a little bit.
Christmas has always been our primary holiday, but from time to time, if we remember, we'd like light the menorah or make latkes. But we're a Christmas family too. We're just super aggressively culturally Jewish.
I have to tell you, have you guys ever watched that show, Grace and Frankie?
Yes.
And Lily Tomlin. So there's one point where some character asks Lily Tomlin's husband something about being a Jew, and he says, I'm not that kind of Jew. And the guy says, well, what kind of Jew are you? And he says, the atheist kind. And you will see this a lot, people.
Didn't Heather Dubrow call herself like the Boo Jew or something, like half Buddhist, half Jewish?
Yeah. Yes. Oh. And I come from a family that's very Jill Zarin-ish, if you want that in a Bravo context. it's that kind.
In what way? What do you mean?
Jill Zarin isn't like married to a rabbi, but just okay. She oozes it. Everything. I mean.
We're going to have to switch it from Hanukkah for Dummies to Judaism for Dummies for you. We'll have to look that book up on Amazon.
I'm so embarrassed. Cool. Well, so let's go from Hanukkah to Easter. Because
okay. So that's like a big switch.
Yeah. I just want to say it's not all about me, even though it's kind of all about me. But this week, so there's like, we have these two big endings. We have the season finale of Dallas and the OC reunion. But there's also a little bit of New Jersey that I thought we kind of had to address because it was so sad too. I mean, that was a sad.
She broke my heart.
Oh my God. Mm. I know, she's become such a grown up. It was.
Oh, her children.
And we watched it. Yeah.
God. I know, and the way she took care of Adriana.
She's grown a lot. She's the oldest. She's the eldest. Mm-hmm. And you can see she's trying to take on this sort of emotional burden to protect the others.
I know. Teresa too, the way she doesn't tell her kid. Like, she's really cautious as a mom.
That was something when I was watching that scene, I reconnected sort of with New Jersey. And it's very raw, sort of genuine family dynamics.
Really
you're watching
is.
These people. And there's a lot of emotion in it.
Yeah, and it's really, we can't make fun of this, right? Like, it's just not funny.
It's not. It's how I put it when I was tweeting about it was love them or hate them, because there are people who can't stand, you know, the family, and there are people who are diehard stands. But love them or hate them, it's like warts and all. It's the real stuff. What they're going through, it's real life. It's not some made up, you said this about me or whatever. It's real emotions, real
life.
Yeah,
this isn't Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills, exactly.
Where they're arguing about who went to the press. Like, these people are dealing with actual issues.
Yeah, you're seeing some real stuff, and it's relatable in that way.
Yeah, for sure. And one of those things that I really wanted to talk about, because it is kind of close to me, was the interaction with Jackie and her father over her anorexia struggle. Okay. Motherfucker.
Laugh,
she says, like, I almost died. And he's like, it was almost worth it. Look at you now.
Yeah.
Okay, let that sink in, everyone. Let it sink in.
A couple years ago, I had a really bad ulcer, and I lost a ton of weight. I couldn't eat anything. And my grandma, told me I look good and I should keep it that way.
Yeah, that is.
And I was like, and I had said I almost died. I couldn't even drink water for days. And she was like, well, it looked good.
It was worth that. Exactly. And I come from that same kind of family. My dad would have probably said the same thing to me. And it's no secret. I lost 110 pounds. And so like, you don't get that fat, and I'm 5 feet tall. So like, you don't get that fat unless something's off in your head. And I swear to God, it's because my parents were always like that. It was like all about what I looked like. So it was always this. Oh, it's terrible.
The
I think that's the underlying for a lot of people. I think it's, you know, a way, it's like you're almost building a wall of protection, you know, either as revenge or to not be noticed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I got that way after my first marriage. It was like, you know, I just wanted everybody away from me.
That's an interesting point, like building up a physical wall.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that one a lot, like, and people about sexual abuse, like they don't want men to be attracted to them, and it's just subconscious. Anyway, that just hurt me, and I kind of wanted to hit that dude, and I thought he was super gross. Like, he was nasty. She's like, are you going to give Grandpappy hugs and kisses? And she's like, no, not kisses, because Grandpa always has, or Poppy always has wet lips. And then that's all I could look at the entire time. And I was like, get this fucker off my screen. I literally hate him.
Okay, did you guys find it weird at all that they don't live together, her mom and dad, but they're still married?
Question, would you live with him?
No. Good point. Touche. Touche.
I do not know.
I wouldn't. But it just, I don't know. That seems weird to me.
She's full of shit, I think. That's bullshit. Grandma and grandpa love each other so much. Come the hell on. They just don't want to live together. Okay, they hate each other.
I think it's just, go ahead.
I was going to say they're probably staying together but living separate lives for some kind of state planning tax issues. Like, it's just
Jordan. Jordan.
This is the world I come from. So, I think it's just easier than splitting up the assets and everything. So I think they just live separate lives and keep in touch.
They hate each other. Okay, see, that reflects the difference in our families. Right there. Jordan's family is about estate planning. My family, outside of my mom, like, had no estates, and it was all about who hates each other. Everyone. Half the time,
but like, even if they just like didn't like each other, like, you could get a different room in the house, you know. We've seen that a lot on Housewives.
They hate each other, but
like a whole separate condo is a little extreme, so I don't know if I'm buying it.
No, there's more to it.
That 100%. Was kind of a gloss over. I think they're at least no longer like emotionally married. They are separate. But I think, I don't know what the money situation is. It's just easier to kind of, at that point in life, because they're not so young. They're like, well,
maybe Poppy has a male roommate that wasn't on camera. Maybe he's got his side bitch. I'm not going to be nice to this fucker. Plus, I'm in a really bad mood. I'm telling everyone I had a really bad day, and now I'm drinking Aperol spritzes, cappuccino, Diet A&W all at once. Just to let you know. Let me let everyone know where we're at. Okay.
By the way, my
moonshine sounds lame.
I don't want to make you cringe anymore watching Poppy, but there is a famous rap song, B.I.G., I like it when you call me Big Poppy. I want you to think of Big Poppy every time.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. But when you're gonna go Poppy, you have to go to Jennifer Lopez, I Love You Poppy, that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
no,
that's
see, I went to Kim Zolciak, Big Poppy.
And Drake, I think his Twitter Instagram handle is Champagne Poppy.
That man just makes me sick, and I don't even want to talk about him anymore. Like, my skin is literally crawling.
You're just jealous. You want his wet lips.
Yeah, I just want her body. Let's be real. No,
well,
she is actually
contrast
really good.
That to no-no who can chug a bottle of hot sauce straight out of the fridge. She's
what
awesome.
What was happening in that scene? Somebody please.
I was wondering, because I think when you have his physical illness, that kind of stuff, doesn't spicy food, can't that trigger a heart situation? And he was drinking.
Well, he has lung issues. Mm-hmm. And it does clear up congestion.
Oh, okay.
I use it for that.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm a spice junkie, you know.
Me too,
I'm...
but I don't drink it out of the bottle.
Yeah.
So you think that's what he was doing, like a home remedy?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she was saying that he was having trouble breathing, and I think he was just trying to clear it up.
Yeah.
I can't figure out if he speaks English or not, because basically just like kind of grunts. You know,
manja, yeah.
Yeah, manja. Like, ah, fine. But then every once in a while he makes a crack, like I can't remember what he
oh
said.
Yeah, he said something to Joe or something, like a joke, like, you little liar.
And yeah, he goes, you liar, you liar. What's wrong?
I think with a second language, though, that happens a lot. I understand way more German than I can speak. So I can hear people talking and know what they're saying. But then when it comes to conjugating the verbs and using the proper articles and all of that, it gets confusing. So I think, you know, he limits his English, but he understands it perfectly.
That's true. And there must be a sense of pressure if this is on TV. So that's where he probably picks and chooses his words carefully.
Yeah.
I do love the way they take care of their dad. It's really sweet.
Her dad's a nice guy, no-no or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you see the emotion? He like broke down crying over the memory of his lost
boy. I know, that's why I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah. We're getting the clump.
Let's go to Dallas.
Yeah.
Because I'm, again, bad mood. Let's tear someone to pieces. Let's flay them, peel their skin off like the Boltons did in Game of Thrones. I just want to say I refuse. This is my 2019, actually my 2020 New Year's resolution is not to let one episode of our podcast go by without mentioning Game of Thrones.
See, I was hoping you were going to say you would stop Game of Thrones references.
Nope.
It's over. It's done.
Except I just watched it. I just watched it. So for me, I'm always behind the time. Sorry. Anyway, okay. So let's go ahead and flay Leanne, please, Cammie, because this woman has just dug her grave deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And it just all came to a head on this episode. The Real Housewives of Dallas.
Okay. Well, you guys do point, and I'm going to do counterpoint, okay?
Okay. Point
still love me
one.
After, all right?
Yeah, no. I want debate. We agree too much, I think. Like, we need to debate, but not upset.
we find joy in our differences here. We don't always agree on everything.
But we usually do on Housewives.
Only on Lisa Vanderpump. Because anyone who disagrees with us on Lisa Vanderpump will get a diamond shank.
Yeah, today. We're those bitches. We're
Standerpumps.
Yeah, totally Standerpumps. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. I'm with you there. So we all have the bond.
So first of all, everyone knows whose side I'm on, which is anyone but Leanne's. However, I'm going to start with the point because we said we're going to debate. So here's the point. Leanne says, I do bad things, but I am not a bad person. Response. And Jen, go.
Okay, my response is, and I've said this a lot already online, she despises Carrie, okay?
For sure.
I took what she said as directed anger at Carrie. I've not seen any kind of pattern of, you know, cultural or xenophobic or racist or any, I haven't seen a pattern of that across other people.
Mm-hmm.
I just see it directed at Carrie because she can't stand her. And that's not defending the comments. They should never have been uttered. You know, anybody with half a conscience wouldn't utter them. Mm-hmm. However, I think it's a teachable moment and she can learn from it. And were it not for the target that it was aimed at, I don't think it would have come out of her mouth. Mm-hmm. That's my side.
Okay. Jordan, do you have a point?
I'm probably in between you guys because I see both your points. Mm-hmm. And my reason why I lean against Leanne in this is you're right. It wasn't like she went up, but she kept using Mexican as a, it was right. not coming.
It was a slur. It was derogatory. It was not admiring.
Yeah. Where she was coming from, it was out of anger and malice.
Ugly.
So she could have said anything. She could have said that left-handed libertarian. It was the tone.
Yeah, it was nasty.
That was where I'm like, it wasn't meant as a compliment. So I lean against Leanne, but I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I can see what you're saying. Certainly. I just have no tolerance for it. I really don't.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part
and
of living
I get
in California.
That. And
I expect more. She is someone who, like, her best buddy is Steve Campbell, who is a gay man, obviously. She acts like she has tolerance for everybody. But people who speak like that, I believe that your language betrays your limits. Mm-hmm. And she freaking, I don't care what you call it. I'm not okay with that, period.
Yeah. And I get that. And that's why I said they should have, those words should have never been uttered.
Of course.
But when you take it back to Steve and the wedding, she specifically chose a church where everybody would feel included.
That's right.
You know,
he said that here on the show.
Exactly.
I just think she is a mess.
100% a mess.
I'm just like, I'm backing away from her, but yeah.
She's scary as hell. Like, really
I just want to see now that she's married and more settled, I think you get more introspective when you're not by yourself because you've got someone to ping pong things off of. Yeah. Oh, that was totally a Freudian slip.
Not ping pong's Freudian. That's hilarious.
Oh God, got that one.
Oh man. Ooh.
By the way, I want to call this episode "Everybody Is a Monster" Holiday Edition because that is my feeling. Because we go from Leanne to Mama D. First of all, I am not saying she's a monster because she said she was coming on the podcast and then didn't. Okay. Not saying that, Mama D.
I didn't know that. Ooh.
Yes, she did. And I have the receipts, girlfriend. I have an email saying, sure, I have so much fun on my podcast with DeAndre. I don't give a rip. Sure, I'll come on your podcast. Did she? Hell no. Did she stop answering the email after that? Wouldn't schedule with me. We sent Steve after her twice. Nothing. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just doubling down. She's a monster. I can't. Like, really?
She basically offered us the bankrupt skincare line.
And didn't even give it to us.
Yeah.
I don't think DeAndre is so great, but when Mama D, now she whips out that I can't give you money because I'm getting old and I'm going to need home care. And she sticks her lower lip out and pouts like that. I'm like, girl, you know.
But she's 79, though. And she's been listening to DeAndre whine for 50 years. So, and I get it. As a mom, I get it. And it's like, I would be sitting there munching down on my nachos too.
Crunching her nachos. Leandra's like crying and she's like, looks like she's eating popcorn. Right? She's evil. That was so purposeful and evil right there, wasn't it?
Oh, it was manipulative. Is it sad that I thought it was healthy though? I was You saw my.
I love you.
I saw it, and I was like, no way. Mama D said she's proud of her, though. And
that was passive aggressive eating. She was passive aggressively eating nachos.
Yeah.
Wait, am I wrong? That was the most passive aggressive nacho eating I've ever seen.
Maybe she was keeping herself from saying something she knew she couldn't take back. You know, it was proactive.
No, she's my mom in Dallas form. Think about it. She's all about the guilt and the drama. And, you know, it's forget it. And then it's the passive aggressive thing. Oh, it's exhausting.
I think that's the power of Mama D. I think anyone with a maybe powerful maternal figure in their life can read into the story from their own perspective.
That's a good point.
You're right. It is kind of universal. Mm-hmm. And I also, by the way, loved how she says, you know, I'm old. I'm going to need nursing. And then literally 10 minutes later says, I have the means to travel, Deandra. Yeah. I was like, wait, hold up. Really?
But it's not like Deandra's getting nothing. That's the thing that's frustrating. No. She's getting $5,000 a month from the trust. She's getting her housewife salary. And she's getting whatever salary she's taking from the company now when she doesn't show up until 4 o'clock. So I just don't feel bad for her.
I'm
not the type of person who thinks that my parents' money is my money.
That's where we famously differ.
Yeah, that's Jordan's thing. I just want to say I agree with you, and that's my comment. Actually, has nothing to do with that. It's all about her style. And anyway, Jordan, how do you feel about that money thing?
Oh, Mama D's putting her through the ringer, and I'll tell you why. This is where arguments between relatives about trusts and entitlement. That's my world, and so. Mama D, I guess, is self-made, or, you know, she married well, but she seems to be a bright person, and she's worked hard. And Deandra was born into it, and she is, and Deandra's going to get everything. She is the only child.
Yeah.
And I think she wants the best for Deandra, but she wants to make sure she's smart and that Deandra can fight for things. And I think, like, with Mama D saying she's proud of her now, I think what she's saying is Deandra's put up a big fight and stood up for herself, and maybe now she feels more comfortable handing things over.
Because that's all moms want for their kids is to know that you did a good job and that they can take care of themselves and carry on.
Yeah. You
know? I almost died at the end when the Chiron said, Mama D... said God spoke to her and told her to give Deandra the money. And that's where Mama D and my mom differ. So if we close out with that family, I just personally have to say, what the fuck is up with Jeremy's huge self-portrait? Somebody help
him. I thought it was hysterical. I think there was a big portrait of Mama D there, and that was the point.
Yeah.
It was, I think she hates, you know, that I think she thinks Deandra married down, you know, and
she did.
I think that, you know, she thinks Jeremy's a mooch, and this was his way of sticking it to her that I'm almost positive if you lifted that off the wall, there's like a dust print where the Mama D picture used to be.
Okay, I wish I knew that for a fact because I would have enjoyed that more. I enjoyed it a lot.
Mama D really is into portraits of herself. Like, if you see it's every year, I think they've taken this like portrait of Deandra and her like in this like Chrissy matching outfit. So I think you're right, Jen. I'm sure there was a portrait of her there.
Okay. You guys, can we talk about Cam and Leanne now? Just transitioning over here because they finished that one off. And I just want to give Cam like the number one housewife prize for this season, not just of Dallas, but I'm going to give it to her with OC. Everything in 2019 is Cam. She wins this year. And, I appreciated that she finally confronted her, that she confronted Leanne about the way she was saying Mexican and chirpy Mexican. With a wink, right, Jordan?
With a wink. Go back to episode one. All I could talk about was Cam and the wing.
The wing, right.
Is this the part where I counterpoint?
Oh, God, yeah. I forgot we were see, this is the whole thing. You just sit here and agree with each other. How boring is that? Yeah, please. Stir it up like okay. Tamara. Go, girl.
I was on the Cam train with the whiteboards. She finally won me over. I was super happy. And I didn't have a problem with her confronting Leanne about what she was saying and telling her it was inappropriate. I did have a problem, however, with her being at a lunch with Carrie one-on-one and not bringing it up, and then bringing it up in the car on the way to a group function where Leanne was going to be so that Carrie would be lit up. And she like just turned the key on her back and set her off. I thought that was a little double dealing on Cam's part.
You're right. That's a little like provocative. I didn't actually think about that at all.
Uh-huh. I just don't think that she's the flighty blonde that she plays. I think she's much more calculating.
100%.
And I think she knew that the comments that Leanne made, because she was team Leanne all season, but she knew that it was going to be hard, if not nigh on impossible, to recover from that. Uh-huh. And so she flipped.
Yeah.
Alliances.
That's why at that moment, the moment where Cam told Leanne, "People think I'm afraid of you. You should be afraid of me."
Exactly.
And I was like, she's actually right, because she's not breaking. She's sneaky. She's mm-hmm. sneaky, and she's well aware of what's going on and what her role
is. Exactly.
And she, I think, as Erica Jane would say, sniper from the side.
Mm-hmm.
So. Oh my God, how do I miss all this? I'm so naive. Maybe. And idealistic. I really never noticed that kind of stuff. I'm so dumb.
Maybe you're just a better person than I am. I see the worst in everything.
See, I just look for the double dealers. That's my, the liars, the hypocrites, and the double dealers. Those are all the housewives that, you know, I can't deal with. And I'm not super fans of. You know, everybody else I can find something good to say about. Mm-hmm. But
well, she
I
definitely
like...
came out ahead this season mm-hmm. compared to last mm-hmm. year or the year
before. I agree.
And honestly, I still would say she wins the season because she was so funny.
She did have great talking heads and the whiteboard thing that, you know, I even said at the next BravoCon that has to have like Mona Lisa placement, you know, sure. in their museum.
Right. Yeah, they should be in the clubhouse for sure. All right, so still on the theme of everybody on Dallas is a monster, I wanted to bring up Carrie and Eduardo, uh-huh. who are just kind of horrible people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Carrie is like, first of all, I kind of feel like, why do you just, I don't know, I don't like when women just feel entitled to their husband's money. And on the other hand, it shouldn't be like all his money, but they did marry later in life and those aren't his kids. I don't know. What do you guys think? That's my point. Counterpoint?
I don't have any opinions on issues of alimony or divorce settlements or separation of assets at all. I'm joking.
Also, I didn't even know we were talking about that. That's exactly where Jordan's mind goes.
Yeah, that's where my mind goes. I think she's in a position, you know, like Yolanda on Beverly Hills with her marriage to David Foster. She didn't get that. She wasn't entitled to that much.
Yeah.
Yet she's expected to live this life.
Yeah.
And I don't think that their marriage is going to last, and she's looking at her exit strategy.
I completely 100% agree. Mm-hmm. I think this is her way. She wants something in their name so that it's divisible. Mm-hmm. Because right now, under a trust, everything is in the trust name. And so basically, Eduardo doesn't even own it. Mm-hmm. You know, Eduardo's in the same position that Deandra's in. Somebody's controlling the money to him. You know, it's his family's money. So right now their house is in the trust name. And so she wants a piece of property that's in both their names. So that way when she splits, she gets half.
Yeah, she's looking for basically, she's realizing what her settlement would be, because I don't think she can continue to live so well if, like, even that house in Mexico they had was amazing. It was like a resort. It's his family's.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she's not going to get anywhere on those necklaces. So
no.
I know.
Oh, I don't know if her kids have the earning potential of Gigi and Bella.
No.
So I think she's like, that's why when you go on, look at there's a total turnaround for housewives who join these shows and their marriages, because I think a lot of times they're looking for an out. They're like, I have to make money somehow. Like, look at Camille Grammer, and that was the ultimate.
Well, now Kelsey's saying that that was his parting gift to her.
That's what I mean. Yeah, and she probably had the best, maybe not emotionally, they still hate each other, but at least financially, her divorce settlement was legit. Right. There was no prenup, and she was married to him during his highest earning years. She owns a show, Frasier. These other women kind of look to her and they're like, what am I going to do? Because this is not working out.
Doesn't I think that's pay what well, though?
I'm sorry. It pays well, but look at the lives they're living. I mean, like, I think the standard rate for like a full time is maybe $250,000 or so. I mean, that's
I heard freshman is $165,000.
Okay.
That's a shitload of money, people.
Yeah, but look at the way they live. They're on a show. They're on the show showing off a certain lifestyle. And so that kind of money, when you're wearing Chanel and Hermes Birkin bags,
it's nothing. Doesn't last as long. Nothing at all, actually. Now that you put it that way, you're right. Yeah.
That's like one car.
Yeah.
If they lived in the Bay Area, they'd be freaking broke on that kind of money. For real.
They're getting paid enough, but I mean, and what happens if they lose the marriage and they can't, and they have to live off the Bravo money? Yeah. Bravo won't want them anymore because they're not as glamorous. So it's, she's looking to walk away with a few mil. Like, she needs some of her own, she needs some of her own money in her own name, because
I thought she said she came from money too.
She did talk about, I know, having like being raised by nannies and that kind of stuff, but I don't know. She seems so concerned about where it's going that I wonder.
Stability or greed is my thing. Mm-hmm.
I think she's looking for stability. I think
she definitely makes it sound that way.
Yeah, I think what she wants is that share of the Frasier royalties that Camille. Like, she made out well. I don't know.
I just feel like, I feel this is the same thing I always feel about inherited stuff, but like, shame on you. Get a job. I'm sorry. Like, I just really feel, well, she is getting a job, right? She has the housewife job, but I feel like you shouldn't be counting on a spouse or your parents' death to be stable in life.
But it's not even her parents, you know, it's his family. Exactly. And she hasn't been around that long, you know. It's kind of, to me, it's even more grabby and gross. I don't know.
I don't like it. I want to wrap that up.
Texas wrapped up.
Yeah, well, we just to say something. Stephanie is awesome. Brandy's just fine. And that was Dallas. See you at the reunion, people.
Do we ever find out if Brandy actually adopts the other kid?
They said that she had not as of yet. But she hadn't decided yet.
Oh, okay. So
moving on to the reunion of the Real Housewives of Orange County.
It's a sad truth that public school teachers in the United States spend an average of $500 a year on necessary school supplies such as crayons and chalk, and everyone knows that teachers don't earn enough to begin with. That's why we're passionate about Clear the Lists, a charity that takes donations and uses them to clear off the Amazon wish list of these underappreciated heroes. To contribute to Clear the Lists, go to supportateach.com. That's support, then the letter A, and then teach, as in teacher, and click on the Donate Now button. Again, that's supportateach.com. You can make a difference in the lives of teachers and students today.
That was my smooth radio segue. What do you think? The Real Housewives of Orange County, people. Sit back in your chair and relax while we do an in-depth examination of every cast member and their monstrosity, because these women are freaking monstrous too. I can't stand Vicky.
I almost didn't watch because they kind of killed us by doing New Jersey, Dallas, and OC reunion all on the same night. I'm old. I can't stay up that late. And I almost didn't do it. But
do you guys not have DVRs?
No, I gave up my DVR. What? I don't. I streamed the next day. Oh, you know, well, and I didn't. I decided I didn't want to wait until they put it up at 8 my time, and I didn't want to wait. And so I, John's watching his Cartoon Network, and I have my Kindle with my earbuds, you know, watching the show, and then I've got my phone so I can live tweet it. And I was so glad that I stayed up just for the Vicky parts. It just absolutely made my night.
It was not, I don't know what, I mean, honestly, she looked okay. Her work has been good. Her, you know, every season or two, she has a complete plastic surgery redo. She looked fine, but that color was just, I was like, oh, no, it's.
But that dress was so dated and it literally clung to all of her worst figure points. Like it was a really ill-suited choice.
It looked like something Blanche Devereaux or maybe someone from Dynasty would have worn.
In the 80s.
Yeah, in the 80s.
Do you know what I thought?
What?
That it was like her subtle hint, like the color was like trying to not be so obvious that she put the orange in the OC.
Oh, Jen, you are brilliant.
Because she's the whole her show thing. She comes out in this mustard yellow, like not quite orange, but the fresh fruit kind of color to show that she's, you know, she's going to be the one that stands out.
That is true, because these housewives for reunions, if you notice how their outfits usually coordinate, it's like a theme. Mm-hmm. They issued a theme, like we're going to do florals or do sequins. Mm-hmm. And hers stood out. Like if you look at the Dallas reunion, everyone is either in black or red. Like there's a theme going on. And
that's what I mean. It's like she's just going completely off script. She's going to look like the orange of Orange County, and that she should be full time again. Yeah. And I don't know.
And after her whole meltdown about where she was sitting, then she sits next to Andy. Oh my God, this woman throwing such a tantrum.
It was delicious. I loved it.
God. I did not think her work looks good, by the way. Like way too much filler in her top lip. It looks bizarre. I can't with that. I'm all for fillers, y'all know me, but I, you know, get it done tastefully. That's just nasty. Can't stand it.
Wasn't there a scene where she was asking Andy if he wanted to see her stitches?
Yeah, what was that? Watching Andy, and he's like, don't show me anything. That is me. I'm like, do not show me anything. I will flip out. Gross. Why do people want to show you gross stuff? Do some people just like it?
Mm-hmm.
Like those freaks who watch like Dr. That. Pimple Popper on TLC.
Oh, no.
Are you kidding me? People, you're crazy.
That kind of stuff grosses me. I like plastic surgery shows, but I always change it for the actual like incision and surgery. I just like the before and after, like profile of the new nose, profile of the old nose. I don't want to know what happened to
me. I know.
Tamara.
Tamara, evil. I like how Vicky was like, I wish you wouldn't take your clothes off as much or whatever she said. But I was actually in complete agreement with that.
Yeah, I am too. I'm so sick of naked, Tamara. I can't.
You know, once you're a grandma, don't you have to keep your damn clothes on?
For someone who accused Alexis Bellino of being Jesus jugs, I have never seen another housewife's boobs blurred on screen more than Tamara's.
Oh, God.
Those are like plastic Barbie hardened implants.
And they really are hardened.
As soon as she left Feynman, you had the bathtub scene with Eddie. Uh-huh. You know, it, from there on out, it was just like, boobs are us, and I'm over it.
I think
they're like fused together.
Yeah, she does have like the uniboob thing. She doesn't have enough of that gap in between.
Yeah.
And that's a botched thing. I've seen it on Botched. Like, that's, they do it wrong when they do
that. And you develop scar tissue, because you know, her, one of her big storylines throughout her time on the series has been having them removed, having them put in, changing them. Changing you develop scar tissue, they don't heal, and they don't always look so great when you keep having them done.
Some weird insanity.
Dr. Jordan Dubrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, she was friends with Fancy Pants.
Yeah.
You know, so why can't, you know, she show up on bots and let them fix that, you know?
Yeah. Jordan, okay, so I'm going to ask you, like, you know, a guy, a heterosexual guy thing. So to me, when you see those boobs and they don't move and they're so obviously fake, like they're like Barbie boobs, does that take any of the sexiness out of them?
It's intriguing because you get the idea they're kind of desperate and that I don't want to be...
It would be easier to land.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
What?
Thank you for filling that in for me. I don't want to sound like a pig, but...
I speak dude.
Wait a minute.
There's a sense of...
She'll cut it out.
Yes. Yes. Hey, everyone out there, I'm the editor, so I have the power to cut anything out. So if anyone... If I sound stupid, I cut it out. And if Jordan sounds stupid, I leave it in. That's my passive aggressive way when I have to spend my Sunday editing.
She's going to have me like disinherited 10 different ways with this editing. There's a sense of like desperation.
That's not like, sexiness, though.
I'm like, oh, does she...
But isn't it less hot looking?
For husband number four? Like...
What? Oh my God. Okay, I'm sorry I asked that question. Can we move on?
Yeah,
let's evaluate Tamara's season in a nutshell.
I think she is. I have always thought she was. And you know, my name for her is Tam Roach because like she can survive nuclear winter. And
God, you're good. I've only heard Tamara. Yeah. That's the first time I've seen that one. I love it.
Yeah, no, I actually photoshopped her head on a roach body because nothing she does ends up coming back to bite her. And I don't know if she's protected by Bravo, if they like it, but, you know, even the time when she ran off from the dinner table and you'll never see me again, we saw her again. I think she turned on Kelly because Kelly is the first person to figure out all of her machinations and like will flip a switch and come back at her super quick. And so she's like wanting her off now.
Game recognizes game.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. They're kind of two of a kind.
Mm-hmm. And they really went at it on the reunion where she was like, you didn't even graduate high school. And she's like, I did. I graduated high school. She's like, no, you didn't. Kelly thinks she's so smart, but she is the only one who knew who Ernest Hemingway was. So,
yeah, she did.
She said, "For whom the bells toll," but that is actually not the name. It's "For whom the bell tolls," people. All right, so let's just move on to Bronwyn because I'm sick of talking about Tamara. You had some opinions about her, Jen.
I am okay with her getting a second season. I don't think, aside from the Tamara issues, you know, I didn't like that part of it. I thought that was a little over the top and a little desperate, but I really don't think she knows herself yet. So I think she could have a good sophomore season as long as they don't have her mom back because I can't take Dr. Demento. I'm done with her.
For sure.
Yeah. I feel like it's okay if she doesn't come back.
I think what she brought this season was friend of the housewives level interest.
You're right.
I'm not saying they should never have her back on. I just don't think she brought a lot. And if you look at her at the reunion, she was trying to defend her place on the show. She was seated out at the back away from Andy. And she was talking about things like her place on the show. And she tweeted famously the other night, "Vicky, if it's your show, why don't you have an orange?" I think she's trying to defend her place on the show because I think she knows she's on the cutting block. Chopping block.
And let us not dignify it with more than that and move on to Shannon, since we're just doing our little season summary of everyone. So I just want to take a quick poll. Shannon, fun Shannon? Was there a fun Shannon, or is fun Shannon a sham?
There's never been a fun Shannon. If you've ever seen Shannon at her happiest, I'd be terrified to see what she's like when she's depressed, because it's just always like misery.
I think there's potential for a fun Shannon. I do. I think if you got her away from Vicky and Tamara in the Screech Fest, loud and louder, I think that, because I saw a bunch of Instagram posts and things of them off season with her and Kelly, like single girls out on the town, and she did seem like fun Shannon. You know, I know they were only stills, but she seemed lighter without Vicky and Tamara chirping in each ear. So
with those chirpy Orange County women in their, you said chirping. Sorry, it just made me think of Leon's comment.
Everybody's gonna unfollow my account because I called her chirpy.
She is.
It's just I don't think she's like terrible. I just like think she's always yelling at you.
Jen is discriminating against her because she's from Orange County. It was a slur. She called her a chirpy Orange County person.
Now I call Vicky and Tamara chirpy Orange County.
Them. Yeah. Okay. So I'm the only one in the entire world probably who just loves Shannon, although she always has moments where she pisses me off. And if I was her friend, I'd be like, yo, dial it back, girlfriend. You know, she gets intense. But I still like her because I don't know why. And she's real. And I think she's funny. And I actually think she's really smart. But I know, bring on the flames. I'm the only one.
If I could put her, like I said, if she was grouped with Emily and Kelly, I think I would like her. If she and Emily could bury the hatchet, the whole law school dropout hatchet, then, you know, I think she could be fun. But I don't like the Tres Amigas. I'm not up for that dynamic.
All right, so let's move on to Kelly, maybe the most controversial Real Housewife of Orange County.
I like her because she says some of the things that I would love to say that I'm yelling at my TV, you know. But I don't like her because she goes way harder than I would ever go. I don't ever go for the jugular. I go for like a little nick on the arm, you know, so they know they're cut, but they're not going to die. And she goes full blown.
I think she's basic AF. I really do. I feel like she has zero class at all. So we have lost Jordan. We had some technical difficulties and he's gone. So now you're stuck with the girls. Girl power.
Yay, girl power.
So me and Jen will be bringing you the conclusion of this exciting episode. Starting with Emily. So
I love Emily.
So do I.
We have that Ohio bond. She's an Ohio girl, and she's got the sass that, you know, we have like a way of finding people's like soft spots, and we can go right for them if you push us too far. And she's got that, and I love it. She's been bringing it out, and it's been great.
The funny thing about Ohio is, like, it's so easy to just call it Midwest, but the truth is that kind of sarcasm is far more East Coast. Like, I think Ohio's like an interesting cross.
Yeah, we really are. It's more what they call my area is the tri-state. So you've got Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. Mm. And so it's a mix of a lot of different. I've got Southern coming at me. Mm-hmm. I've got Northern coming at me. I've got Eastern coming at me. So, you know, we're kind of like back when they used to have the melting pot. Mm. We're kind of the melting pot.
Yeah. Well, I just really think she, I don't know, she seems real and she seems like a genuinely nice person. She's smart. She's accomplished. I don't know. I just like Emily. I do think she's funny.
I think she's funny. I feel really uncomfortable watching her scenes with Shane. I think they're at a bad place.
It's terrible.
And, you know, marriages hit those spots and I hope they can pull through. But it just really, when she was in last week for the hip surgery, talking about the hip surgery, and she calls him, and he was like, well, you waited too long. You know, it was
I
would have killed John if he had said that to me.
You know? Oh, he's a real jackass, that guy. Like, mm-hmm. I once was reading a novel, and it was actually a Stephen King novel, and he said marriages have their own secret languages. And I totally get that. Like, people have their own way of talking to each other, and you never know what a marriage is really like on the inside. And I get that. And she defends it, but I feel like she has set her standards low.
Yeah.
What does this dude bring to the table?
Say again?
I'm sorry. I said, what is this dude bringing to... Then I took a swig of root beer.
What is this...
I'm so professional. I'm such a professional podcast house. Anyway, what is Shane bringing to the table? Like, I mean, if Jordan was here, he would say his rich family, probably.
Right. If he had passed the bar, I would say that he's bringing something to the table. But since we know he didn't, mm-hmm. I'm curious what he's bringing to the table. I think she loves Perry, his mom.
I agree.
And I think that sometimes that makes it hard because you're not just leaving your husband, you're absolutely. Leaving the whole extended family.
100%.
And I think, you know, because she came from a broken home, maybe she doesn't want her kids to have to come from a broken home. And so she's going to try and stick it out and... You know, she'll defend him. And maybe, you know, he is better when he's not on camera. And this is just like a bad moment.
He's just
because
nervous.
He was stressed about the bar.
He's just nervous?
I mean, like, dude. I don't think he's nervous. I think that he was stressed about the bar.
Oh, I think and he's a monster. He was monstrous last season, though, even before that.
That's true. That's true.
I feel like there's no excuse. Like, there's just, that's, you know, it's not an excuse. It's just
Do you think it's competitive? Do you think like he?
I think he's a total
feels like
asshole.
He's outshining him.
I don't. Okay. I actually don't care. Like I mean, there were those allegations of abuse against his ex-wife. Yeah, domestic violence. Yeah. So like, no, I totally believe this guy is a bad person. And again, I now have a new definition of what a bad person is. Leanne, if you're listening. Here's my definition of a bad person. Someone who runs around hurting other people all the time. You know, a couple times by accident is one thing. But that guy's mean. So he's a bad person.
And that's true.
That's my...
Even when he was shoving the french fries at her, you know, that's when he knows she's trying to not eat like that. You know, it's stuff like that that's just kind of... I don't know.
Run away. Run, Emily. Yeah. Run. I know I finally lost it and tweeted on my personal account. I wouldn't do it from Kiki and Kibitz. And I was like, fucking Shane. I don't remember what it was. Like, fuck you, Shane. I can't stand him. And she needs to run away. He's just the worst. But she, look at how great she looked, too. Like, I was amazed.
She did.
Yeah, she was beautiful before. She's the same amount of beautiful. I'm just shocked at the transformation.
And I think she looks beautiful. Speaking of outer beauty, can we talk about Gina's hair for a second?
We would be remiss if we didn't.
I thought last week when they showed her talking to her mom that it was like cute and edgy, yeah. But whatever happened between that filming and the filming of the reunion, I have no idea, because it was like, did you ever have a grandma that used that like blue hair shampoo?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like to me. It looked like it just aged her in. It just wasn't the cute, edgy cut. She just can't cut a hair break right now.
It's funny because I also looked at her and had this flash of like, she looks old for her age. But to me, it was the makeup, the amount of makeup she was wearing.
Yeah.
But regardless.
She kind of has always overdone that. Didn't she do the blue eyeshadow thing too?
Probably.
Or yeah. At least the
yeah,
super
she did.
Thick.
Yeah, she did. It sucks when she looks really natural and placed on her makeup. She's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, her skin is like perfectly smooth, and she has that kind of like olive tan complexion with that. I don't know. Poor Gina. Yeah, that girl needs a stylist.
Yeah, she definitely needs better choice in friends. Because anybody who defends Tamara, she needs to stop. She needs to go back to Emily and be on the good side of things, and I'll be happy with her.
Tamara's a fair weather friend anyway. Like, if you're friends with Tamara, it's a sign of low intelligence. Seriously, low emotional intelligence also.
Yeah.
You're not picking up what she's putting down.
No.
Anyway. So
not
that's
at
it.
All.
Yeah. Yeah. So any other thoughts on the OC reunion?
Other than just, I at a point with just the Vicky clips was laughing so hard. I was in bed. My husband had fallen asleep by that point. I had the Rottweiler between us, the Chirussel at my feet, the Chiweeny at his feet, and the whole bed is shaking like those motel beds you put a quarter in, because I'm smothering myself trying not to laugh as she's screaming, "They're treating me like a bottom feeder, like a catfish."
Oh,
and I was dying.
What a bitch though, right? She just called all those women bottom feeders. And she's an insurance salesperson. Like, there are only a few people that are bottom feeders more than people who sell life insurance to old people. And that is personal injury attorneys.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see the tweet she did when Luke Perry died?
Yes, I retweeted it. She's evil.
Oh, my God.
For those of you who didn't see it, she tweeted out something that said, "Most of you know about how Luke Perry died at a very early age, the age of 52. Too bad he didn't have life insurance," or "that's why you need life insurance."
Yeah. Estate planning or something like that.
Yeah,
you really
planning,
need to consider that. I was like, oh, you're so tactless.
That's the thing. And after her whole cancer scandal, she got in with the fuck cancer movement people. And it's like, mm-hmm. I get it, but like, girl.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
tone
deaf.
Tone deaf,
for real.
Her and Kim Kardashian both. They should hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when she said that she doesn't respect Bronwyn because she cheats on her husband, and Andy like called her out and was like, "You cheated on your husband?" And she goes, "Yeah, but I said that I did, and I said it was wrong." You know?
And Bronwyn just did it in front of her husband, and I
exactly.
I
it was consensual in front of him. There's a difference than what you did. She's just such a hypocrite. I can't.
Oh, for sure. She's such a hypocrite, and that's why I can't stand her. Because she's coming back full time, right?
I don't believe the rumor. I don't. Usually they don't make contract decisions until after the reunion airs. Mm. They wait for feedback and things like that. And because there was a little buffer even after Beverly Hills before we really got any kind of news on who might be coming, you know, and I don't think necessarily that that's true. I could be wrong. I just, the way he brought her out and called her Jane Roe made me think that, you know, that was his dig. Like, you tried to sue me, you're done, you know, but I could be wrong about that.
I mean, if that's not the case, I'm shocked. Like, who does that? Like, who, hire someone who has tried to sue them or started suing them, you know?
Well, they brought Rena back, and she was saying that about suing if Lisa was doing a spinoff for Vanderpump Dogs, that she was going to sue them because she wasn't being paid to promote somebody else's work or something. Mm-hmm. And they made her delete the tweet, but they hired her back. So I could do without Vicky. I think 14 years of anybody's life. What I want for the Housewives in the future is a 3-year contract and then an option for one or two more for only the best of the best. Mm. Because I don't think anybody's life is interesting enough to watch for 15 years.
Yeah, you know, I hear you.
It just becomes manufactured at that point. You know, I think you learn pretty much everything you know need to know about a person in like 3 years or so. And then the really interesting ones, like Elisa Vanderpump or, you know, Bethany, I could have seen them getting options for more. Yeah. But at this point, 14 years later, you know,
Vicky's
Vicky. And it's too predictable. And
yeah.
Jordan
likes the below deck model where they keep just a few and change the crew up every season.
Mm-hmm. I like that too.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, because they can't ever get rid of Captain Lee or I'll stop watching.
Right, same. I'm so excited, listeners, to present to you today something special, something new, something uniquely Jen, and it's her idea and it's cool as hell. And I'm going to let her take it from here, but I'm just going to say, presenting Jen's new segment, Bravo on that tweet. Take it away, Jen.
Okay. What we would like to do, it's hard to interact with a recorded podcast. You can voicemail into the show. They've played a voicemail just last week, so that's an option. But we wanted a way to interact more with our Twitter family. And so we searched through hashtags, found one that wasn't in use. And since this is a Bravo dedicated podcast, and Bravo is also a way to give someone cheers for something great that they've done, that's where we came up with Bravo on that tweet. And what you can do is when you see a tweet online, when you reply to your friend, add the hashtag Bravo on that tweet, and we'll be searching those hashtags and spotlighting a few of the best ones when we have the segment.
Yeah. And I'm going to correct you on something when you said, and that's how we came up with that. It's not true. That's how you came up with it. Because this is your idea and it's a great idea. And I just want you to have all the credit.
Oh, so. You're sweet.
No, you're doing a great job. So did you pull some tweets?
I did. Oh. And the exciting part about this first one is it was recommended by two other people. It wasn't one of the ones that I found while I was scrounging. Mm-hmm. Two other people recommended it. So people are already getting involved with
That's
it.
Cute.
So thank you,
that.
Danny and Patty, for sending me this tweet from Paul Vasquez, and it is a Dallas tweet, and says, DeAndra's tagline should be, I'm in everyone's business, but can't manage my own. And I love that.
It's really good. I realized for this segment, I guess you have to pick tweets that make sense without visuals, huh? That made it hard.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's
exactly.
A good one, though.
And there were a lot of ones where people had done GIFs, and it's just hard to translate that. So a lot of, in the future, what you want to look for, it doesn't have to be, we're not looking for the next Henny Youngman. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, super funny. It can be just insightful, something that you caught that we missed, you know, just great things that can
be
added.
Extra points for funny?
extra points for funny always with me. You know, if you can make me laugh, you've got me. Snarky, oh my gosh. Woo, snarky okay. wins the day.
Right. I just want to make sure people realize, like, competition is fierce, people.
Right. And going on to the next one, I was talking with my friend. Her name is Penny Mad as Hell, Resistor Sister Thoughtbot. And we were talking about Vicky calling it her show. And I said that I wished that somebody would mention to Vicky that if it wasn't for the show, The OC, nobody would have watched, you know,
a
little show called The Real Housewives of Orange County. And her response, which was golden, was, it's really Misha Barton's show. So, Vicky, it's not your show anymore. It's officially Misha Barton's show. And thank you, Penny, for pointing that out.
Someone else also wrote that or tweeted that the show was that it was written for and about Gina Keel.
Was it?
That is what I just recently read. Yeah, they're like, never forget. This show was created around Gina Keel. I did not
know that. That's amazing. I miss Gina. I really like her.
We don't have anyone else like her.
I even liked her kids except Shane. Shane was kind of a jerk. But maybe it's
common thread. If you live in the city and your name is Shane, you're a dick.
Yeah. And then we have another recommendation. It was from Incredibly Blessed. She nominated Pinky, and Pinky said, because of the whole fight over whether she Tamara graduated from high school, that Tamara is out right now looking for a rent a cap and gown and a good ring light so she can say she graduated high school.
Wait, did you see the not a bravo on that tweet? Maybe it is, but like after Kelly said about the Groupon, did you see that Groupon tweeted out the Groupon that Tamara
did? I did. And did you see Kelly's tweet asking if backpedaling was a new class at Cut Fitness because Tamara had to back her lie up and say, that was years ago. That's when we first started, you know? And then people are pointing out the fine print that, like, the 5-star reviews on the gym were like from 2017 and 2016. So it really wasn't 7 years ago, like Tamara said.
Yes.
So that was pretty amazing.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. People, please give us tweets like that. That's funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And speaking of that, my last one was from Annie J, and we both like this. We've talked about this one offline, and she was talking about Tamara being in the bushes. And she said that her check liver light came on.
Oh, that was so funny. I thought that was hilarious.
Yes.
What was going on there? Jesus Christ. The bushes.
She said at the reunion it was 10 tequila shots, but we also saw Eddie tell her at the reunion to not drink. So I just think it was more of her fake acting. But I do want to thank Paul and Penny and Annie J and Pinky for all giving us great bravo on that tweet.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Jen. And the thing that I really want to thank everyone for too is for being so funny, because everyone entertains me so much on Twitter.
Right.
So I want to tell everyone that we are going to take a little break, little holiday break, and finish off. This is the last show in Season 1 of Kiki and Kibitz. This is our 13th episode. And when we come back in January, and I think it will be the second week in January, so we have New Year's week, and then the following Wednesday, we'll come back. We have, and when I say special guest, man, I mean special, we have someone coming on from Vanderpump Rules. Now, I hope he doesn't cancel now. I know if he cancels now and I've said this, it's going to be terrible.
Well, don't say his name, but...
No, I won't, but I'm...
Put it out in the universe. I'm so excited for this, though.
And I can't believe it. So that's how we will start off the new year. That's very exciting. Yes.
Anytime you want me, I'm around.
No, we want you.
And I want to wish you a happy first Hanukkah with your Hanukkah for Dummies kit.
Merry Christmas.
A Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And happy holidays to all of our listeners.
Yeah. Kwanzaa, Festivus, whatever you celebrate. Eat, drink, and be merry, people. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please head on over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe and give us a 5-star rating because you love us, and even a nice review. And that could be a nice holiday gift for us. And we'll see you next year. Bye.
Bye.